weaknesses, our rebellions, our failings, our lawlessness. Turning our ashes into beauty. Taking our garments of distress, exchanging them for garments of praise. Even the word Easter, you know where the word Easter comes from, don't you? Ishtar, the ancient pagan goddess of the fertility cult and all of its intrigue and corruption and violence. See, when the gospel gets even into a name like that, it transforms it with life, true life, by him who had the right to say, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die. Hallelujah. Praise God for the glory and majesty of his sacrifice and the infinite triumph of his resurrection. Nothing like it on planet Earth. No challengers, no takers. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'd like to share a brief word with you this morning. I say brief because a word that appears some 350 times in the New Testament is not going to be covered in all of its application in one session. But out of the dilemma of our human experiences and our misunderstandings, there comes up a word that becomes characteristic of the gospel. One simple little word of three letters, joy. Joy carries us through our deepest difficulties and problems. Joy brings us through to victory on the side of the resurrection. When we look at the events commemorated by this particular day, we see death in our human understanding as the ultimate equalizer of all things. Princes and paupers, kings and commoners all end up the same way. Naked we came into this world, we brought nothing with us. Naked we leave, we take nothing with us. Only in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is that which sin has destroyed, restored by him who had the right to say, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the beginning and the ending. I am the first and the last. And behold, I make all things new. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Isn't that ironic that the angel didn't honor the seal of Caesar, of the Roman authority? When he'd broken the seal, he just sat on it. You wonder too of the ability of non-corporal beings, as we know corporality, because an angel is part of the spirit world that doesn't have flesh and blood like we have, and yet look at the angel's power over a piece of nature. I don't know whether he pushed it or just talked to it. You know, people try to poke fun at the Christian faith and say, if God can do anything, and I've used this little illustration before from this pulpit, if God can do anything, Can he make a stone so big that he cannot lift? And of course, the folly of that question lies in the answer. If God made a stone, he wouldn't have to touch it to move it. He'd just talk to it, and it would obey him and move at his will, just like he flung all the fiery planets into their orbits from his fingertips by the sheer fiat of his word. God said, and it was. Hallelujah. Okay, let me read on. This is verse 3. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. That doesn't mean that it was white like we know white. It was glistering or glowing, radiating with light. Verse 4, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. That's a bit of an anomaly, isn't it? Fear and great joy. In the past few weeks, I've been giving some thought about the word joy. And to my own great puzzlement, I couldn't come up with an accurate definition of that word. I thought you might want to help me. When you hear that little word, what comes to mind? Feeling good. Beg your pardon, David?
Feeling good.
Feeling good. Okay. Dancing. Bob, is this mic on?
No.
Well, give me a little mic here. I want to collect your answers. Oop.
Dancing.
Excuse me for all the disturbing noises I'm making here. Okay. David says feeling good. Somebody said
dancing.
Dancing. Oh, all right. Okay. Dancing.
Confidence.
Happiness.
So bubbles inside.
Bubbles inside. Well,
feeling of peace.
Feeling of peace.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ. I heard something else from you.
Laughing.
Okay. Well, that's quite a variety, isn't it? All of the above, huh? Okay. Well, celebration, eating is can be a part of joy, yes?
Sorrow
also
can be.
Sorrow? Yes, yes.
Sense of his presence.
Sense of the Lord's presence.
Contentment.
My, we're on a roll here.
You know, what you said, Nikki, reminds me of a short poem by Blake that goes something like this. Men and women are made for joy and woe. And when this we rightly know, then through life we safely go. Joy and woe are woven fine, clothing of the soul divine.
Leave it to Rod to give us a little philosophy. Very good. All right. I went to my research material for a little bit of help, and this is all copied. This is not indicative of my own thought process. From the Hebrew, the word joy means to leap with pleasure, to spin round with pleasure. Well, how long has it been since we've had that kind of emotion in the presence of the Lord? See, maybe we need a little renewing. Maybe, just maybe, we need another level of the revelation of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the fullness and completeness of life that He is. Joy is a delight of the mind from some present or assured possession of good. Joy in its moderate form is called gladness. In its highest levels or highest degrees, it is exaltation and transport. There is another Greek word that we probably wouldn't associate with our faith, although the Bible does. It's the word hagaliasis, probably akin to our word hilarity. That's getting a little extreme, isn't it? But that is the content of the word joy. In the joy we find in limited desires, we call contentment. The joy connected with high desires is called satisfaction. The joy of victory over opposition is called triumph. Joy long possessed is cheerfulness. Is that expressive of your character? The joy of the performance of good, or that sense of contentment we feel from the performance of good, is called peace. Also, the serenity of conscience. Then the joy that comes from above, that we have nothing to do with because we do not create it, is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. Why does this emotion happen? Well, it's certainly not the affected, conjured emotion by process of some mind game that we play on ourselves. It is the spontaneous expression of the character and nature of God, demonstrated particularly through His cross and resurrection. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. And wherever we see Christ's work of grace in evidence, we find joy connected with it. Wherever we find the activity of the Holy Spirit, there joy is present. So let's read some scripture in that regard, not just in connection with the resurrection, but connected with other parts of what the word of the Lord has to say to us. I need a little more space here. I got a little accumulation of bits and pieces of paper. Okay. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 at verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Discounts all our contemporary philosophy about the insignificance of life in the womb. John, at this point, is a 6-month, quote-unquote, fetus that has the capacity for some very deep human emotions and a physical reaction to correspond to it. The babe, not the fetus, babe unborn, leaped for joy. Brings another factor to our attention. That is the power of anointed words. The Holy Spirit came at the annunciation of the greetings of Mary and the things that she had to say with regard to the fulfilling of the promises of God in the coming of the Lord in human flesh. When those words fell on her ears, there was a corresponding fulfilling by the Holy Spirit of the content of that word. May we be blessed again and again and again by living words flowing from mouths of the members of the body of Christ that incite the life of God within our spirit and precipitate the fruit and the manifestation of that life, which is joy. I want to remind us again that a word in its various forms that appears some 300 or 350 times in the New Testament certainly would have a little variety of meaning and some very significant content to us, as we certainly find in the Word of the Lord. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. At verse 8. I'm not going to preach the Christmas story this morning, but it fits. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Hallelujah. John chapter 17. And verse 13. "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Let us be reminded again that joy is not some giddy feeling that we attempt to generate in our own person by some mental gymnastic. Joy is the fruit of the impartation of resurrection life into our human spirit. And it happens not because we conjure it. It happens just because it's part of the nature of God. Give way to it. Be expectant of measures of the glory of God and manifestations of the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus to break as ocean waves over our spirit, again and again and again, from glory to glory, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the living God. As we behold, as in a glass, the living Christ. And that doesn't mean just that we're looking into the Word as a mirror, but it also means that we are the mirror, we are the reflecting of the Word of God. And it's often in the proclamation of the truth that others hear, that we ourselves are blessed with in the communication of it. I don't know how the grammar of all that happened, but I think you got the idea. Praise the Lord Jesus. John chapter 16, verses 22 through 24. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Praise the Lord Jesus. Again, we see the dilemma of our human evaluations in settings of great distress. Just like the women at the tomb. They were greatly afraid and they had great joy. And here the scripture says that we have sorrow. In other words, there are difficulties, there are obstacles to face, pains that we have to walk through. And yet, when we give way to what our Heavenly Father has gifted to us in His Son, we experience the triumph of His resurrection in all of our distresses, seasoned with joy. What a way to go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 1. Verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What a glorious, simple message. Where does your hope lie? Where does your hope come from? From the triumph of the Lord Jesus? From the one who has faced death? As he tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 1, I am alive, I was dead, and behold, I live forevermore, and I have the keys of death and the grave. And when the devil had done his worst in executing his sentence of death on the Son of God, God did his best by undoing the devil's worst by his resurrection. God, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice, with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Several very important points of reference that we have here. In verse 7, the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We praise God for the ultimate revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but what about that day-by-day unveiling of who he is in our lives? Hallelujah. That releases the glory and majesty of his triumph, of his resurrection life, in our human journey, in our daily existence, that makes us overcomers. Because he lives, we shall live also. If we are in the likeness of his death, Romans chapter 6 tells us, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Praise the Lord Jesus. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing. What is belief? It's trusting in what you know to be the truth. Belief is not trying to hang on to some fantasy that somehow then enables you to deal with reality by ignoring it. A belief is reliance upon what has been demonstrated to be reality, to be the truth. Yet believing, you rejoice. Here we have this unusual Greek word from the root of, how does it sound? Hagaliau, or something like that, which means to exult and rejoice exceedingly. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy, with kara inexpressible, that is, for which words are not adequate. Have you had a ration of that lately? If not, why not? Church, it's time for us to be renewed in our childlikeness. It's time for us to recover our simplicity in the faith, our trust in the Lord, our expectation of the fulfilling of his word. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus, to bring forth and to manifest through us all that Jesus is. Hallelujah. You know, we grow up, we get too cultivated, too sophisticated, too rigid, too bound by habit and tradition and procedure and sameness, when all the time the Lord has rivers of living water that he wants us to explore, to experience with him, to take us from one level to another, not through some rigid religious gymnastics, but because in our childlikeness we have been open to receive from his fullness grace upon grace, grace upon grace, life and more life and more life, because of his sacrifice and the glory and triumph of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me keep reading. We read from John that the joy that the Lord communicates to us, no one will take from you. Let's look at the real life experiences of some of our forebears. Acts chapter 5. And verse 41. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Do you know why many of the saints of the early church got in trouble? Because they preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. God's ultimate solution to all our human dilemmas. Behold, I make all things new. Don't let your difficulties get you down. Let the Holy Spirit inspire you in his resurrection. And in believing what you know to be the truth of what the Holy Spirit